Well, this morning, we're going to kind of kickstart off of, we're talking about the trust test that God has us in every day. We're going to go off of that, and we're going to look at activating God's power in our lives. We need to do that. We really do. And, you know, sometimes we're good at it, and sometimes we're not. And it depends on what's going on, depends on what we got going on, it depends on what we choose to do. But we're going to look at how to activate God's power. So what do you want your life to look like tomorrow? I know, 40 degrees warmer. What do you want your life to look like tomorrow? Or maybe what do you want your life to look like, your wife? What do you want your wife to look like in a week? What do you want your life, we're having fun this morning. What do you want your life to look like in a year or 5 years from now? What do you want your life to look like? You see, to reach any goal, we need to take action at some point in time and continue on that course. Just like we took action over our sins, we came to Christ, we received Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you're going to activate God's power in your life, you need to have the power of Christ in your life. You need to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way you're going to activate positively the power of God in your life. Now, God's power is activated over the wicked. You can read about those scriptures. There's a bunch of them in here. But if you want to activate God's power in a positive way in your life, you've got to come to Christ, accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and you've got to rely upon Him. You've got to say, Lord, You've given me all these promises, and maybe it doesn't look exactly like I thought it was going to look, but they're there, and it's happening, and we're going to look at how God works in our life, how He activates His power in us. You see, we can reach our goals two ways. We can reach our goals in our own power, or we can reach our goals by activating God's power in our life. You know, I know a lot of young people who graduate from college with 4 years with a degree, and they've done it on their own power. They don't believe in Christ. There's a lot of things we can do on our own power. We have intelligence. We have breath. We have a lot of things. We can accomplish a lot. But God says, as His children, He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to activate His power in our life, because when we do, we can do so much more, not only for us, but especially for Him. And that's what God wants us to do, okay? So there's three main actions that we need to do to activate God's power in our life. Are you ready? I'm gonna, and you guys have heard me preach on these over and over and over and over, but I'm going to come at them in a little different way, and then for a few weeks, we're going to look at exactly how God wants us, some tools that He wants to give us to do it. First of all, to activate His power in our life, you got to pray. You gotta pray. You gotta talk to God. You have got to do it. And a lot of people, you know, I used to get a kick out of KSLT. They did this little spoof on prayer, you know, and this guy'd come up, Lord, and, you know, he'd go on, you know, and on and on and on. And it's like, they talked about, you can just talk to God. You don't have to, you know, do anything. I know that in the open Bible churches, it's kind of interesting. Years and years ago, when a prophetic utterance was brought, for some reason, it was always brought in the King James. I don't know why. And now, since we've had the NIV, now it's starting to come in the NIV. But what I'm getting at is God just wants us to talk to Him. He just wants us to get real with Him and say, Lord, here I am. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm victorious. I'm struggling. Just come to Him and just talk to Him. Just talk to Him. Just open yourself up to God, okay? You see, the first action of prayer is very important, because if we look at Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, this is how Paul ends his prayer to the Ephesians. It says, now to Him, and he's talking about God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more. You see, God's infinite supernatural power is released in prayer. That's why Paul ends his prayer like this, to remind the Ephesians, I'm praying for you. In fact, this week I encourage you to go to Ephesians 3 in your prayer time. Read through Paul's prayer and maybe note some of the things that he prayed for and use that as a guideline, as an outline for prayer. I go to this prayer all the time and pray this prayer over our church. Because it's an amazing prayer. If it was good enough for the Ephesians, guys, it's good enough for you.
Amen.
Right? You know? And so God has immeasurably more than we can ask, imagine, according to His power at work within us. If we're His children, He has immeasurably more in store for us. In this word in the Greek is an amazing word. Immeasurably more, we have two words. It's basically one word with a preposition makes it one word. It's like much more better. Only it's one word. Right? God has something much more better for you. Only it'd be like this. Much mo to the infinite better. That's what God has for you. Immeasurably more than you can imagine. You see, and what this word means is this. God's power, it's really hard to explain Greek and Hebrew sometimes because it's such a comprehensive language. It's like an action. You know? It's like an action. It was a phrase of the time, and when you said it, people went, whoa. And this is what immeasurably more means. It means that God's power puts you in a place and gives you the ability to do more. You see, it's not just like, wow, we're just gonna stand here, we're just gonna hang out, God's gonna do much more better. No, God says, okay, you've prayed, now I'm going to do immeasurably more. How's He gonna do it? He's gonna do it by putting you in a place, okay, and then He's gonna give you the ability to do more. Sometimes we pray and then we go, wait a minute. It's like this week I was praying, okay, God, you know, I want to be available. Lord, I just want to be available. And so Tuesday night, about 7 o'clock, get a phone call. Well, no, it was about 6 o'clock. Because sometimes I come up to church in the evenings, and Nick Hansen's dad, Randy, he was up in the area, and he came by the church to see if I was here. We sometimes hang out and have coffee, you know. Anyways, about 6 o'clock, you know how cold it was. And I was all snuggled in my chair, okay, with a fleece blanket over me, sitting in front of the fireplace, enjoying life, letting my dogs adore me, you know, good place, drinking my last cup of coffee of the day, a little late. And the phone rings, and it says, hey, Jim, I'm up here. You know, it actually called Cindy. It says, hey, Cindy, I'm up here. Is Jim around? And she said, well, he's right here. Why? Well, I came up here, and there's the window broke out in the church. That was not my prayer for the week. So I'm like, oh, great. So I come up here, you know, and I'm just not praising God about it. It's like, I'm not driving up here in the middle of, you know, of this cold weather. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, I get to go out where it's cold and freeze my little tushy off. No, I'm not singing that. I get up here and the police officers show up about the same time. We go through the building and it's just like bizarre. The blinds are up. All the musical instruments are there. The Bella pregnancy bottles are all full of cash, and it's all there. We go through, the lights are on downstairs. You know, it's just like weird. You know, the more the police officer and the cops, he keeps looking at me. He's like, have you ever had anything like this happen before? I said, no, usually stuff gets stolen. I mean, all the computers are in place. And, you know, and the thing is, we came and we looked around, you know, and we go downstairs, we come up through here, and we're walking across there, and I go, wait a minute, those chairs over there are supposed to be against the wall. We walk over there, and there's a guy rolled up in a blanket. And he's like semi-unconscious, rasping badly. We roll him over, he's listening to praise music on his iPhone, and he's got Cindy's little pulpit Bible all clutched in front. He rolls him over, and the police officer says, "Oh, hi." He knows the guy's name. Imagine that. No response. You know, I'm just praising God at this point. I really was praising God at this point. Number one, we found him before something terrible happened. You know, that he got in here and didn't freeze to death. And there's, you know, some circumstances, you know, concerning, you know, what's going on in this guy's life. And so the police officer, he calls, you know, paramedics or ambulance. They come. And we're loading him. And he's pretty, you know, out of it until we go to load him on the Guernsey. And then it all breaks loose, right? He bites one of the cops, you know, he's thrashing around and everything. And so we get him all, you know, strapped up, get him in there. And the police officer, bless his heart, I think he's kind of like me. He's like, he's never ever really had anything like this happen before. Usually something's missing and nobody's there. And he goes, "Well, do you want to press charges?" And I go, "Yeah." He kind of looks at me like I'm a bad person. And I said, "Yeah, I want to press charges because I don't want this guy wandering off tomorrow or the next day and freezing to death." I said, "Breaking and entering, destruction of public property, and resisting arrest and attacking a police officer." You could see the lights kind of come on then, you know. I said, "You know, you guys got him in an ambulance. You're going to go check him out, right?" I said, "Well, he's going to end up in jail." And I said, "The wonderful thing about it is I'm a Lawrence County chaplain. So by the time I see him, he's going to be, okay, a captive audience." So tomorrow I'm going to go see this guy. But, you know, sometimes we pray and it doesn't turn out the way. God says, "Okay, you've prayed. You want me to do immeasurably more, so I'm going to have somebody break into your church." Did anybody see that one coming on Sunday? I sure didn't, okay? So this is what God does, okay? God's infinite supernatural power, it puts us in a place to do more than we ever imagined we could do. The second action that we need to take to activate God's power is, okay, we got prayer down. We just got to do it, right? The second thing we need to do to activate God's power is we need to wait and equip. And everybody loves to wait, right? Why, when they put you on hold on the phone, do they have such annoying music? Well, for two reasons. I figured it out as I was on the phone. We had something we had to deal with. And Cindy says, "Well, you'll have to call this number." And I was just like, just pull all my eyebrow hairs out. You know? Do something. You know, yeah, please. So I call, you know, and I'm like, maybe 7.5 minutes. You know, I know it by heart now. Couldn't get that. And I was sitting there thinking, why do they do this? Why don't they have nice music? Well, two reasons. Number one, I'm pretty sure it's to keep you awake. And number two, it's to annoy you so you'll hang up and they don't have to talk to you. Pretty sure, you know. So we don't like to wait. We don't even like to be equipped, you know, because equipping deals with correction sometimes and training and all that kind of. But we need to wait and we need to be equipped, okay? Wait means to learn. Wait also means to be active. You know, we're going to look at a scripture here in a little bit that talks with this. But the thing is I want to really point this out with waiting and equipping, okay? We quit. We quit. Sometimes we quit right before we graduate. Remember, we were talking about the tests that God puts us through, and if we fail the test, if we don't get all the way through the test, we have to take it over again. And that's why a lot of times, you know, it thinks, man, this thing is never going to get over, is because we quit, we stop, we don't continue on until we've been equipped, until we're where we need to be. We haven't waited with God long enough, you see. Psalm 27:14 says it so clearly, and I love this. It's the Message translation. It says, "Stay with God." Can I say that again? Stay with God? What does David want to say? Stay with God, okay? He says, take heart, don't quit. Stay with God. And then he says, I'll say it again. Stay with God. You see, God says, you got to stay with me. You got to stay with me. Stay with me on this. Stay with me on this. You're being equipped. You're waiting. You see, if you feel like you've stalled in your life, you may be relearning a test that you have failed. You might be quitting right before God's timing of breakthrough. I remember one time we were climbing this incline up in the Bighorns. I'd never been on this path before, and I was about two-thirds of the way up this incline, and I just thought, nothing is worth this. We're at about 8,000 feet, and we've gone about 3 miles, really good, and it's the last mile, and I'm thinking, you know, we can just go right, there's a nice creek, there's a nice place to camp, back down at the bottom, we'll just turn around and we'll go down there. We'll just do that. I'm thinking, I even voiced, I said, man, are you sure we want, you're looking up there and you see that, you can see the top, but you're thinking, wow, that's a long ways up. It's like another fourth of the way up. And we talked about it. It was about four of us up there, and we talked about it. And finally, one of the guys, and this was a few years ago, one of the guys who was an older gentleman, you know, about my age now, he was an older gentleman, and he says, we can make it. And I was like, oh, man, I can't be. The guy's about 10 years older than me. I was about 50 at the time. So, okay, cinched up the straps, got to the top. I'm glad we didn't stop. Because at the top, you got to look over a great deal of the east side of the Bighorn Range. It was just this magnificent view. I'll never forget that view. It was in the spring, and the alpine lupin had just bloomed. It was like, you know those pictures that come up on you know, Microsoft Explorer? It was like that. And so many times we're going up the incline and we quit and we go back down and we camp out at a nice little spring and we never get to see what God has in store for us. So, stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. You see, if you feel like you're on hold, that phone, keep listening to the music. Because even if you don't know something's going on, God's got something going on in the background. Because sometimes while you're listening to that music, somebody is taking the numbers that you've punched in, so when they answer the phone, they can take care of you without saying, and your name, and this, and that, and that. See, God's got something going on. And we need to stay with Him. We need to not quit. Even if it's taking some time, we need to remember this. In 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9, it says this, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. You know, there's a lot of things that we should not forget. But in this scripture, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. And have you ever felt like a day was 1,000 years long? Yeah. Some days are like that, aren't they? The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, God's timing takes longer because God is working on the hearts of men and women. And that takes time. That takes time. The scripture that Amanda shared with us, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in your relationships, in your families, in the people that you know. God is doing a new thing maybe in your job. God is doing a new thing in your life. And we just got to wait. We got to stay with God. Don't quit. Stay with God. Because God is at work. The third thing that we need to do to activate God's power is to act. And we're going to spend a few more weeks looking at this, but I want to just start right here, okay? We need to act. If you feel like you've stalled in your life, you may not be acting or serving as God wants you to. Because sometimes, man, we're working real hard. Have you ever worked hard? Have you ever worked harder, not smarter? my grandpa Jim, he was not a fast-moving individual. My grandma always used to comment on how slow he moved. But he was very persistent, and every move he made counted. And, you know, when he needed to move, he could, and he knew how to move and where to move. He was involved in a plane crash out at Ellsworth, and they saved the four lives of the plane, four lives of the pilot and the crew of the plane, because when he needed to move, he could, and he knew how to. He knew how to act. He was trained. You see, we have been, all of our lives, being trained and equipped. We've been waiting on God. Waiting is an active thing. You know, all of those years that my grandpa waited for a plane crash, he waited by being active, okay, in his waiting. He trained. He did a lot of things that weren't much fun. You know, packing a respirator into fake flames is not fun, but you got to do it. So when that plane went down and it was on fire and they put their suits on and they went in there, he was able, and the other guys in his crew was able to grab those four guys and get them away from the plane. All four of them lived. You see, we need to act. God is equipping us. And when we see something in our lives, you know, not all of us want to run right into a burning building. Not all of us want to run into a situation where we got to help somebody. Not all of us want to do certain things. But God says, I need you to act because you've been waiting. You've been equipping. You've been waiting. Now it's time to act. It's time to wait on me. You see, waiting and waiting is two different things. Waiting and equipping and waiting and acting. And one, you're waiting on God, okay? And the other one, you're waiting for God, upon God, for people. You're being a servant, like a waiter in a restaurant. You know, have any of you ever served people in a restaurant? It's the most wonderful job. Everybody giggled, right? Man, I'll tell you what, when we're in a restaurant, if somebody in the next table starts giving the waitress a bad time, Cindy just has to squeeze my leg, like, do not punch that person, Jim. I just want to get up and say, look, have you ever done this? Do you know how hard it is to wait on nice people, let alone a turd like you? That's just what I feel like saying, you know? But you see, we need to learn that we're servants, we're waiters, we're there, we're supposed to act. You see, Isaiah 40, 23 is a very, very familiar scripture. And I want us to look at it, and I hope that you'll get something new out of this today. It says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, this is the Amplified version, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, okay, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, and mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. What part of that scripture is I'm just going to sit on my butt at the bus stop and wait? I'm waiting for the bus. None. You know, a lot of times, and don't get me wrong, we need to wait upon the Lord. We need to sit and pray, and we need to contemplate. We need to be trained. But you want to know, I have heard this scripture being used. Well, you just wait on God, and he'll finally do something. I don't know what it says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him. That means like you're like, okay. You're like our schnauzer waiting for a chicken to cross the backyard. I tell you what, we always know when there's doves in the backyard because Hitch goes nuts. It sounds like somebody is beating a child within an inch of their life, doesn't it, Cindy? He's down there. It's like, oh, man. I'll scare the stupid birds out of the yard before the dog has a heart attack. And you know, if we had that expectation and we're looking so intensely, waiting for something to happen, when it happens, then guess what? It says, then God will change and renew our strength and power, and He will lift up our wings. He'll give us the ability to mount up, to be close to Him, and to mount up, you know, into a place where we can look past and over and beyond everything that's going on in our life. And then God's going to say, you're going to have the power to run through this thing. You're not going to be weary. You're going to be able to walk through this thing. You're not going to be able to be faint. Nothing about that scripture says sit and do nothing. And that scripture right there, that translation is the closest to the Hebrew that you could possibly get. You know, we love that song, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. I love that song because it's blues. And in blues, I just want to sit down and blues and feel sorry for myself. You know, and relax, you know. But that scripture, man, that is an activation scripture. When we read that scripture, we're like, man, I'm going to get off my butt. I'm going to start looking. I've already waited. I've already equipped. Now God wants me to go out there and he wants me to start looking for things. You see, God wants us to wait for him so that we can wait upon him, so that we can wait upon others in his purpose. Same word, different meanings. God wants us to wait on him, equip, so that we can wait upon him, so that we can be with him and serving him, so that we can wait upon others, so that we can go out and activate that faith that God has given us into the world around us. And that's what it means to act. To act. You see, every day we have to pray and self-evaluate. Every day we have to pray for his resources and his equipping, and we have to watch for that. Every day we have to wait on him, wait on that equipping, wait on that timing, so that we know when we go out the door and it's time to act, we are acting in him. Now, I wish that Tuesday night I was like, wow, this is an opportunity to act for God. Let's go outside and find out why somebody broke into the church. I wasn't there. You know, and I thought, you know, maybe I need to start praying a little bit more throughout the day to keep that activation active. Right? But once I saw an individual in here that, number one, wasn't dead, number two, we could help. You know, and the thing is in everything that we do, God wants to activate his power through us. And everything that goes on, the good stuff and the bad stuff. So what are you doing today? What have you done this morning? What are you going to do tomorrow that activates God's power in your future? What are you going to do? You're going to wait upon the Lord. We know that, okay? But as you're waiting upon the Lord, what are you expecting? What do you expect? Because you want to know something? That if you're not expecting anything, that's exactly what you're going to get. God's like, what do you want? Oh, nothing. You know, one time, my grandma could be a little harsh sometimes. That was my grandpa Jim's wife, my grandma. She was Irish. She was kind of a spitfire. One time, Darcy, our oldest, my grandma says, well, what do you want to eat? And Darcy said, I don't know. Grandma says, fine, then you're not getting anything. That's kind of harsh for grandma, isn't it? But it made me realize something later on, because we've told that story many times, but it made me realize something. Sometimes God comes to us and says, well, what do you want? We say, oh, nothing. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? You know, a few years ago, Randy Ellendorf and I were challenged to start praying like this. God, amaze me. Amaze me. And Joya's mom and dad, they're in mission now, running a coffee shop, reaching lives in ways they could never, ever reach if God wouldn't have amazed them and put them in places to open up doors. About the same time, we were praying, Lord, just amaze me. And about a month later, as we're praying this prayer, our lease came up on the building where we're at. And I didn't know that God was going to amaze us. I thought that the enemy was attacking us. And in fact, God was nudging us to get out of that building and look elsewhere, because we got out of that building and into this building. And a few years later, God amazed us by giving us almost $1 million property for $127,000. Now, is that an amazement or what? What are you expecting from God? What are you expecting from God? Ephesians 3:20 and 21, again, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Now to the God who is able to place you someplace and do more in your life than you ever imagined. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it has worked within us, let his power work within you. You see, sometimes we go to God and we say, Lord, amaze us. And he starts amazing us. And we're just like, whoa. this can't be happening to me. This can't. And God's saying, no, there's going to something amazing's going to come out of this. You asked for something. You asked for me to do something. And in what God does in our life, listen to what happens here. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. He's going to get glory for this. First of all, He's going to get glory for us because once we figure out what's going on, we go, oh, Lord, thank You. We have the glory. And then other people are going to look and they're going to go, whoa. I don't know how many people I've shared the story with how God put us in this wonderful facility in a way that we could afford. We looked at buying it one time. It was like, that ain't happening. God amazes us. So I encourage you this week, by believing God at face value for what His Scripture says, and then go ahead, get dangerous and say, God, could You amaze me this week? Could you amaze me somehow? Could you amaze me in my future? I don't know what the timing is. Could You amaze me? And He will. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You that You are an amazing God. You are amazing. Lord, so many times the word amazing comes up in our vocabulary when we're describing You. So many times in our worship, Lord, amazing comes out. So, Father, I pray that You would activate Your power within us. And in that activation, I pray, Father, that we would be amazed at what You're doing in us, what You're doing through us, what You're doing for us, what You're doing around us. Lord, we ask You in Jesus' name to open up the heavens and amaze us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.